Happy Sabbath, everybody. Good to see you all. I hope that good health and blessings are in your household on this Sabbath day. It's a blessing to be able to be together. I was on the hike last week, and I did want to mention about the hike. We all had a great time, the men. We ended up on Snoqualmie Pass, up on Kendall Catwalk. Very beautiful place to be. We had a great time. There were 11 of us men that went up, and 11 came down, so we all lived, all survived. And we all got up on Friday afternoon, and on Saturday morning, David Holliday had prepared a Bible study on James 4, and we had an excellent conversation about James 4 as men. It was very good. And then in the afternoon, we got together as men and kind of just had an open discussion about the challenges of men and what face us in life and in church life and all. And that was excellent, and we're hoping that, you know, more openness will stem from that, and men in the church can grow and become more open. But we did have one little snafu that happened. You know, the people in the church who are your best friends and that you can count on, that are trustworthy, that are honest. Well, apparently this person is not one of those for me. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Jonathan Siegel. He thought it'd be a really good idea about halfway up the pass to start adding rocks to my pack. So that made it a little bit more difficult for me. I noticed, and I'm the old guy. I'm the old guy hiking up the pass, and so it was very difficult for me to get there. But thankfully, L.G. Gibson stepped in and, you know, said, "Hey, listen, you got to tell this guy." So during this time of year, when the sunlight shortens on us and the days get cooler, and fall seems to, it sets in. These are the days that we as a family look forward to God's plan and the culmination of God's plan. We get excited about these days. Today, what I want to talk to you about is, first, I want to talk to you about the first resurrection. You know, it won't be just 2 weeks away. We go to Gig Harbor for the Feast of Trumpets, believe it or not. And it's such an exciting time for us to be able to partake in that. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about the first resurrection, our participation in that. And then there's something that we're going to start doing in the Seattle Church, and that is we're going to be on a regular basis remembering of those saints that have gone on before us that are no longer with us. So there'll be a little bit of a presentation after that. When I was a kid, I grew up in a different faith. And that faith had three different options. There was heaven. And the way they described heaven is that was, you kind of became angel-like, and you're kind of on the cloud, and you'd get harp lessons, and and this is part, it was kind of creepy, you'd float around and watch your relatives, and that didn't sound like a good option to me. And then there was purgatory, which, you know, essentially was, you know, a spiritual holding tank, you know, and you obviously you weren't good enough spiritually to be able to make it into heaven, but if your relatives were good enough, they could pray you into heaven. And then, of course, there's hell, and we've all, you know, we understand that teaching, eternal torture, eternal pain, and none of those options sounded good. And I wasn't an active person in that church when I was a young adult. And I was so blessed to be able to come into contact with somebody in the church, and I actually started going through the correspondence courses. And I got to the lesson on the resurrections. And for me, this was it. This was something that, in sales, we call it the hook. You know, what makes a person decide what they're going to do? And for me personally, the doctrines of heaven and hell and the doctrines of eternal life with our loving Father were incredible to me. And they hooked me. It wasn't initially for me the sacrifice of Christ, because I've heard about that, but the fact that I wasn't going to burn in hell and the fact that I wasn't going to hang out in purgatory, but the fact that I had a loving Father in heaven who had a plan and purpose for me, was alarming to me. So I can't emphasize enough for me. I often wonder about what it is like to be raised in this faith, to not have the experience that I had in regards to that just eye-opening experience of the resurrections and eternal life and all that is planned for us. To be able to understand that is something so special. It did show God that he loved me. He showed me that he loved everybody and he had a plan and purpose for them. We are so privileged to know that. I don't want you to turn there, but in Philippians 3 and in verse 10, breaking into a thought that Paul is discussing about the excellent knowledge of Christ, he talks about this. He talks about the power of the resurrection of Christ. All too often, I don't think we grasp the power of that. We're definitely looking forward to it. And he's talking about Christ's resurrection here, you know, when Christ was resurrected, what happened when that happened, and that there was really no hope if he had not been resurrected, which I'll get to in 1 Corinthians. He says that I may know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being comforted to his death, if by any means I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid before me. Our whole focus in life is that moment. And so I want to go through those scriptures. They'll probably be gone through in 2 weeks, but I definitely still want to go through those scriptures and review what happens to us. So can we please turn over to 1 Corinthians 15? Now, there was some discussion there. Apparently, there was doctrinal discussion about the possibility that Christ had not been resurrected. And Paul makes this point very clear. If Christ had not been resurrected, we of most men are most pitied. Can you imagine if the resurrections were not in place? Can you imagine what it would be like if this was it? You know, sometimes life for us is hard. Sometimes we just can't wait to get to eternal life. But I drive for a living a lot, and I get in traffic, and I think about people who sit in traffic. They don't know what we know. They don't know the God we know. They sit in traffic. They're in a rut every single day. They have no possibility of the hope that we have. And it is a great hope. It is a great hope that we look forward to. So again, in review, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42, I want to start here because I want to emphasize something that is so important. He's breaking in again to a thought here, but he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. Now, what that means is we're no longer corruptible, and how great that will be. Can you imagine we never have to deal with our sordid past? We never have to deal with Satan the devil. We never have to deal with possible addictions and trials and troubles that so easily beset us now. We are no longer corruptible. Once we are resurrected, we will be as in spirit being, something so much to look forward to. Now, the scripture in verse 50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Thank God for that. We will be spirit beings, and we'll be able to leave these bodies, these frail bodies, as we get older. And we have new life, a new name, something to very much look forward to. In verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. And I want to stop there. This mystery is so unique for us to know. Every day we come into contact with people who really need to know this. It is probably the easiest thing to share when people pass on at the right time with prudence. But everybody needs to know this mystery, and it is a shame that not everybody does know. I know that 10 years ago I was at a funeral, and this was very interesting. I still kind of can't believe this happened. But there was a church up north, and this fellow had died, and there were several of the believers from this congregation were in there. And the pastor of that congregation was grappling with some of these scriptures, that maybe in heaven and hell weren't quite right, and that there was there were the different resurrections. And he made mention of this individual who had died. He said, well, now he's with Jesus now. But when Jesus comes, he'll be out of the grave, and then he'll be with Jesus. And, you know, I looked around to the people that I know from here, and we did that. People are grappling with this. They need to know it. It is part of our purpose and our work in this church. But it was really interesting to watch that and watch somebody struggle with that. And it is completely opposite of what the world is being taught. How deeply grateful we can be for the fact that we know what we know. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound. And remember, Jesus Christ will be able to be seen from east to west. The first of the first fruits, the first resurrected, our Savior returns. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has put on incorruption and mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your grave? This is our victory day that we press on for. These are the days we're preparing to observe, and our victory is around the corner from these events. What I'd like to do now is I would like to talk to you about those saints that have gone on before us, members of this congregation, that sometimes with time passing are too easily to forget. We want to remember them. And so I want to cover the scriptures that directly pertain to them and prove that there's an honor, there's a respect, there's order that God gives to these individuals above those that are alive that remain when Jesus Christ returns. So turn over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 4. Please. Again, you know, these scriptures are going to get used. I never get tired of reading them. I know you shouldn't get tired of reading any scriptures, but for me, I love reading these scriptures over and over and over. 1 Thessalonians 4, and beginning in verse 13. And apparently there are still, at this point, some teaching, some misunderstanding, because Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow, as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those that are asleep. So that means that if we are all alive till the time when Christ returns, we will watch this procession of people that will go before us. These people that we loved, that were part of our lives, that we look forward to seeing, will come up first. And I hope when this happens that there's a period of time. You know, I think the first inclination is, well, let me get resurrected too, you know, kind of start jumping up and down and whatnot. But I hope that there's a pomp and circumstance. I hope that there's a period of time, no matter how long it is, because these people do deserve that. And God apparently is going to honor them in that way. And I think that's why, as a congregation, we decided to do this. We want to honor these people and remember them, not forget them. And it is easy sometimes to forget people. And finish in the scripture, for he himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught together with him, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Now here's a commandment right here, verse 18. And this is something that I need to do, and I it would be great to hear this on a regular basis. Verse 18 is so important. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The next month, as we keep the holy days, what great words to share. Now, we get a chance to be in that first resurrection. If we're faithful, we continue our trust in Christ, continue our trust in God, we're going to be there and we get to see these people. Psalms 116, verse 15 says, precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. And precious they were to us as well. Who are these people? They're people just like you and I. They weren't miracles created. They weren't people that did big things. They're just regular members that went through life and died faithful to Jesus Christ and God the Father. They were diligent, they persevered, they overcame, and they waited. And they have the crown of life waiting for them. So anxious to see some of these people. Some of them I don't know. So we are going to start a tradition in the church. The Sabbath or two before trumpets, we'll review these scriptures again and we'll show the faces on the screen. Now, we try to gather as much information as we possibly could on these people. If anybody is missing, please do not take offense. Grab myself or Doug Howe and please give us the information we need. It's possible that somebody did get missed, and we decided that we would start with 1995, only because if we were to go back as long as anybody could remember here, something definitely would get missed. So we had to have a starting line someplace. So please don't be offended if somebody is not on the list and you feel that they should be included. We don't have all the information. I do want to say, you know, thanks to Doug Howe and all of you that contributed. There were lots of notes written about these individuals. And I felt, since I didn't want to say certain things about one person, not say things about somebody else. So I just left it as it is. God says enough about them. God says that they're going to be with us. He says that they've received their crown of life, and that's the most important thing. Why is all this important? Once again, it shows God loves us, loves his people. It shows he has a sense of order, honor to those that have served him lifelong. And it also is a reminder to all of us. You know, unfortunately, people pass and we don't get to know them. It gives us a, as we watch this, maybe think in our own minds that I wish I would have gotten to know them. Gives us an opportunity, reminds us to get to know each other a little bit better. I know there was one person on this list that didn't know for 23 years, got to know her very briefly, learned to love her, and then she was gone. And Jill and I grieved over that. It was a difficult experience. It was a good lesson, though, that it's never too late to get to know one another. Because you don't know, you never know. I think God looks forward to the Feast of Trumpets and the Last Great Day more than others. That's my opinion. I know that's for me. I want to see all of those people that the Last Great Day represents. I want to see my relatives that were not believers. I want to see explorers and artists and scientists. I want to see all the good people. I want to see those that had the struggle through life, through building this country. And I also want to see my friends. I want to see those that were elbow to elbow with me in the first resurrection. I think nothing could be more important now than to celebrate these days with that in mind. Thank God that he loves us and that he has shown his specific purpose and plan for us. So if you will, those that have been given the crown of life, Doug, the saints of Seattle should be up on the screen.